Republicans in the state of California are beginning to give up. We finally have some amazing breaking news, as we are now learning that Governor Gavin Newsom's fight against Texas's redistricting is going rather well in California. A lot of MAGA politicians are backing off their ads against Newsom, are spending less money on this Prop 50 battle, and are beginning to accept that Governor Newsom driving the attention in the way that he is now, which we'll get to in just 1 second, is really a winning strategy. I mean, my entire theory of politics comes down to attention right now, and we'll get there, but just to lay the groundwork. 2 months back, we learned that Texas was enacting a radical and aggressive redistricting, a gerrymandering of their map that you're not supposed to do. If you're going to gerrymander, which you shouldn't gerrymander at all, but typically when this redistricting happens, it happens at a census point. So at the beginning of the decade, 2010 or 2020 or 2030 or 2040, that is when the census happens. What they did was intentionally do the census in the mid-cycle in 2025 so they could eke out 5 new seats in Texas. Texas wanted 5 new seats, and that would win them the midterms. Well, California said, not so fast. We are going to create 5 seats of our own in proportion to your strategy, and we're actually going to do it right. We're going to put it up for a vote and do it democratically. We're going to do it in a temporary way, so we're not just like permanently ruining the state. We're not ruining it at all, but we're doing it in such a way that makes it proportional and democratic. The problem then became this race. Governor Gavin Newsom had almost like the same amount of time as Kamala Harris had last year to do her campaign. But in this case, Governor Gavin Newsom was making the case just to his state rather than the entire country. He was making the case to the people in California, mainly Democrats in California, I think, or independents or anyone that would listen, that this is a fight for our democracy. So he has begun campaigning, putting a bunch of money into this. They are putting a lot of money into television ads. But the most, I think, effective strategy Governor Gavin Newsom has done is this attention economy, this attention that he's grabbing in the attention economy. If you've watched some of my recent videos or my breakdowns of my overall political strategy, a lot of it does revolve around the attention economy. I am of the view that Republicans are currently dominating attention, therefore they are dominating the narrative. So when Trump tweets out this batshit crazy stuff, we know it's batshit and authoritarian, but it also serves a narrative-driving purpose, which everybody understands. Democrats haven't really caught up in that narrative-driving purpose, except for Governor Gavin Newsom and a few other people. Governor Gavin Newsom has done such a good job of just demanding attention. And what he does is he punches back against Republicans. Like in this post, at the Broadview Detention Center in Chicago, a Presbyterian minister was shot in the head with a pepper ball. Gavin Newsom says, Donald Trump's America. Ministers get shot in the head with pepper balls. Dude, he literally got shot in the head. Let me slow it down a bit. You see it happen right here. Look it. This is a pastor. He got shot in the head. This is not the party of religion or of Catholicism or of Christianity or of family values. This is not the party they claim to be whatsoever. And then Gavin Newsom continues to dominate the narrative. He said, so much for, quote, most transparent administration. Pedophile protector Pam is still refusing to answer questions and still hiding the Epstein files. This was yesterday. I kind of like that one. Pedophile protector Pam. I get a lot of emails that say, like, Adam, do you really think Gavin Newsom should be calling names like Trump? Aren't we just going down to their level? And I say he should be calling names, not because we want to go down to their level, but because we have to match energy. We have to meet people where they're at, or else we will get stomped on at all times. Norms in a democracy work a lot like consent in any relationship. Consent, any meaningful consent, is reliant on two parties participating consensually. When it comes to democracy, the same thing with norms happens. Two parties have to be participating in the norms, and then you have steady-handed norms. But when only one party is trying to hold on to the norms, the Democrats, and the other party just does whatever the hell they want, we are at a disadvantage, if you get what I'm saying. So no, we should not be authoritarians who are like Trump and chaotic like that. But yes, we should be dominating the narrative. Yes, we should be using attention to drive our points, because what else do you do? How else do you win? To continue, GOP fears mount in California redistricting fight. This is the article that I want to get to. California Republicans have significantly scaled back their TV advertising against Proposition 50. Let's go. Again, California Republicans are scaling back their TV advertising. This is just a sort of concession that they are losing. This is happening amid increasing pessimism among the GOP that they'll be able to defeat Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom. To date, Newsom's group boosting Prop 50 has spent nearly $43 million on TV, radio, digital, and streaming ads. I don't have to tell you guys this, but $43 million is obviously a lot of money raw, but for a campaign in just one state over one stretch of time, $43 million is crazy. Think about that relative to what they spend during a campaign cycle to win over the whole country. No on Prop 50. An anti-Prop 50 group funded by GOP donor Charles Munger Jr. has spent $20.1 million on ads so far. So we have Newsom's $43 million going up against $20 million from Charles Munger and another $7 million from other GOP donors. So if you look at that, that is a $16 million gap. And Governor Gavin Newsom has the advantage of being the governor and driving attention. Privately, many Republicans believe it's growing more likely that Prop 50 will pass. That's thanks to the spending advantage, as well as the fact that Democrats have successfully nationalized the race, featuring Donald Trump in ads. Newsom has dropped some amazing ads thus far, just highlighting the fight, highlighting how Trump wants to genuinely steal the midterms, genuinely. Fundraising for the anti-Prop 50 effort isn't going as well as hoped. Republicans in Washington are privately miffed that McCarthy said he plans to raise $100 million for the effort, but has spent less than $7 million on ads. The McCarthy-aligned group said in a statement that it is, quote, continuing to invest the necessary resources. So it seems like they are really struggling. I mean, when they promised $100 million, but they're only putting in $7 million, that shows a lack of confidence. They don't have the confidence interval necessary to allocate the funds needed to win this, because they're not going to win it. At least, hypothetically, they should not win it if we continue to push this message every single day. We're going to continue to fight. We have a debate show launching over the next few weeks. Stay tuned. Adam Mockler is doing his own debate show. It'll be great. And honestly, part of the reason we want to do the debate show is to drive the narrative, to draw attention. I don't mean in like a look at me attention way. I mean that when you want to prove a point in this current political economy, you have to bring attention to that point. You have to say something a little bit more bombastic than what you'd say in 2005. That's why a lot of Democratic politicians struggle right now, because they're operating as if we're still in 2005. It's 2025 and the game is different. The way that you spread a message is different. I'll continue to break this down. If you appreciate these videos, drop a like, subscribe to help us push towards 2 million subscribers. I love you all.